Thank you, Father. We decree that as we go into the world this morning, our eyes of understanding is enlightened to behold the riches of liberality which you've bestowed upon us by the giving of your Spirit. We do receive and pray that there's accuracy and precision as the word of truth is taught this morning. There's no confusion in this atmosphere. There's no confusion in this atmosphere. At the end of this meeting, as believers, we are all edified and Christ alone is glorified. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, we've been looking at a very interesting series since the new decade began. Yeah, 2020, the new decade, the new year began. So we're looking at a very interesting series. What's the title of our series? The New Man. Yeah, we're going to continue this series for, let's see how it goes. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, correctly handling the word of truth. Yeah, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word there, study, as we've said over and over, is the word that means to labor, to be diligent, to have an art of researchful reading. To be researchful in your reading format. You know, you can use another word, investigate. I think I've used that recently. You know, investigate. You know, when you're investigating a case, you don't just remain on the surface. Is that true? You're trying to investigate a case, or imagine the police is trying to investigate a case for you. They don't just maintain the surface. Yeah, they go deep to find out something. Yeah, that is the attitude a believer should have in reference to scriptures. Paul, the spiritual father of Timothy, who is the bishop of Ephesus, or who was the bishop of Ephesus at the time, was accountable to Paul, and Paul told him as a son, and said what? Study, labor, have an attitude of laboring to show that God has approved you. You know, we've corrected that scripture. It is not so that God will approve you. It is to show that God has approved you. Yeah, the approval a man needs on earth is the approval of salvation. Once a man believes in the work of Christ, he has been approved of God. There is no other approval. That is all. You've been delivered from the wrath to come. Yeah, so but you have to study, to labor. Yeah, think about it. If salvation was about just, you know, what a lot of us grew up believing about salvation is that salvation is the end of a matter. So, what is your goal in life? They tell you, I want to make heaven. A proper read of scriptures will show us that the goal of a believer is not to make heaven. The proper goal of a believer is not to make heaven. The proper goal of a believer is not to make heaven, but the believer should have an attitude of research, an attitude of labor. Look at neighbor and say labor. Look at neighbor and say labor. Look at neighbor and say labor. So labor is not a matter of hobby. Hallelujah. Labor is not a matter of hobby. You know, all those interesting stories. What do you like reading? I like reading Nehemiah. My favorite book is Esther. As a believer, you don't have an episode as a favorite book, but Esther. Glory to God. I'm sure the apostles taught from Esther. Glory to God. The night with the king, right? You know, so we are to have an attitude of investigating scriptures. We are to investigate scriptures. So Paul is telling Timothy, he says, study to show thyself approved. Study to show that God has approved you. You have been approved. Go and study. And he says, another word for that word, dear spouders, though, is a word that means to be eager. To be eager. You know what it means to be eager? You know how, for some people now, for instance, Valentine is around the corner, is that true? What is me? Yeah, so Valentine, what you call Valentine, February 14th is around the corner. Yeah, so people are eager to see the gifts their friends will give them. So, you are eager. What does it mean to be eager? You look forward to something. Now, Paul is telling Timothy, have an attitude of looking forward to something when you study scriptures. He now goes further and now says, a workman, a trainer, a laborer, a toiler that needed not to be ashamed. That means if you are a farmer, for instance, you are farming, you don't need to be ashamed of that profession of farming. The same way as a Bible student, never be ashamed of what? The attitude of labor. Write that down in your notes. Never be ashamed of the attitude of labor in scriptures. Never be ashamed of the of a proper attitude of labor with reference to scriptures. We're never to be ashamed. We're never to be ashamed. You know, it's unfortunate that in this generation we find ourselves now, people that go out of their way to labor in scriptures are the ones that are itemized as people that are trying to cause division in the church. Yeah? Someone wants you to come and just say, Psalm 23 verse 1, Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Yeah, this is your weak, you shall not want. You now quote Psalm 91, he that dwells, oh, what does it mean to dwell? He needs to dwell. And everybody will jump, you know. But if someone comes and tell you that Psalm 91 and Psalm 23 is not about you, and tries to show you, they say, no, you are too extreme. Let's take it, let's go at, the most important thing is that you are saved. Once a man is saved, that's this thing, man should be saved, and that's just the most important thing. If the most important thing is for a man to be saved, and that's all, why don't you just fall down when you just receive life? Once you receive salvation, why don't you just fall down and just die, let them go and bury you? That's the most important thing now. You know, but there's an attitude of labor that you should not be ashamed of. That's what Paul is telling Timothy. He now says something. Now says, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the logos of authority. And you know, that word truth is the word reality. Yeah, and that word there, word will be logic, but it will not be like a system of truth or system of God's system of reality. That is to say, there is a logic you should have when dealing with truth in scriptures. Are we together? The word of truth is like it is rightly dividing. That is, rightly selecting, or rather rightly trying to bring out Christ, the truth, which is the reality, from what you read in scriptures. Remember, Paul was trying to say, Paul was trying to tell Timothy in the midst of false teachers. Remember, we did an explanation last week Sunday where Paul now says what? The Lord, foundation of the Lord standeth sure. Yeah. Let the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, for the Lord knows those that are his. And we said that the Lord knows those that are his are what? Is about what? Doctrine. Beautiful. Yeah, not people. So now, after Paul wrote this, the next thing he wrote, but he started speaking about flee youthful lusts, flee these, shun profane and vain babblings and stuff like that. Look at 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. He now says something very important. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15. He says that, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He has known the holy scriptures here from a child since he became born again. Yeah, you've known the holy scriptures, and now there's a wisdom of scriptures. Is that true? Yeah, there's a wisdom of scripture. There's a wisdom that means when you go into scriptures and you want to be wise, the wisdom you should take out from scriptures is a particular wisdom. What did Paul say? Wisdom unto what? Salvation. That means what you read in scripture should point your attention to what? God's big picture. Salvation. God's big plan for that new man in Christ. Salvation is God's big plan from the beginning of time. You know, he says to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. He now goes further and says in verse 16, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. That means God inspired that scripture should be written. Is that true? Yeah, you know, given by inspiration is a single word. It means that God inspired that the scripture should be written. You know, one very funny thing we often say, we think that everything that is said in the Bible, that they say it was God, we think it was really God. Yeah, you know, in the Bible, the devil spoke, angel spoke, yeah, God spoke. Remember Hebrews 1 verse 1? Yeah, the prophets at sundry time and in diverse manner spoke unto the fathers, yeah, in various ways. God has in this latter spoken unto us by son. Now, look at something very important. You know, there is a wisdom of scriptures, and that wisdom is what? Salvation. That means the skillfulness that you should take away from scriptures is salvation. That means the moment you look at scriptures and you get a formula for your business, you've lost the essence of scriptures. Are we together? The moment you read scriptures and you get the wisdom for your business, you've done a what? You've caused harm to yourself by not knowing, but trying to be very smart. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, a lot of people teach success stories from scriptures. You know, I don't know how to say this in a better way, but the truth is that you can almost teach anything from the Bible. Yeah? But if you know that scriptures are pointing to that man of Galilee, yeah? That man that was slain, he was hung on the cross of Calvary, yeah? For your sake and I, you will know that when you read scriptures, there's a wisdom you should have. The wisdom is regarding what? Salvation. He now says that these scriptures you are reading, those things that have been written down, they are given, God inspired their writing. Why were they written? Advantageous, the word they're profitable for doctrine. Yeah, advantageous for doctrine. For what? In doctrine, what do you find? What's reproof there? Approves assurance, right? That's evidence. So where do you know, or where do you get evidence of your salvation? Scriptures, right? Yeah. Where do you get correction from as a believer? From scriptures. So when scriptures are properly taught, the advantage of properly teaching scriptures, like Paul had told Timothy, rightly dividing the word of truth in the previous chapter, the advantage of that is for teaching. In teaching, what do you get? Correction. In the same teaching, what do you get? Evidence. What do you get in that? Assurance. How do you know you are saved? The scripture says so. How do you know you are a new man in Christ forever? The scripture says so. How do you know you have forgiveness of sins in Christ? The scripture says so. He now says, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God might be thoroughly furnished. I did a post recently over the week. I'm just trying to remember some things and how far I've come, in the little journey I've had to go, and I saw a teaching of someone that did a teaching of the story before Genesis. Have you seen that teaching before? You've not finished understanding Genesis 1. You are teaching before Genesis. Even Jesus, your Lord and Savior, did not teach before Genesis. Luke 24, verse 24. Look at it. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Who did they not see? They didn't see Jesus, right? Look at the next verse. They were now trying to explain Jesus to Jesus. Look at what he now says. He now says, then he said unto them, who is the he that said unto them? Okay, who is the he? Look at scriptures. Look at the Bible. Who is the he? Who is the them? Or who are the them? The people that went and saw the sepulchre empty. Is that true? So he said unto them, what was the introductory statement? Oh, don't be scared to say fools. It's our Lord and Savior that was talking. What's the introductory statement? Oh, what? Fools. If that is not enough for you, Paul, our brother, to the Galatians, say what? Oh, foolish Galatians. So, why was he calling them a fool? Because of their state of understanding at the time. Because what? They were, look at it, he said in the next verse, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. What were they to believe? All that the prophet spoke. So he called them a fool for not believing what the prophet spoke, but they knew what the prophet spoke. Is that true? How did they know? Scriptures wrote it down. Moses and the prophets wrote it down. They knew it. But it's most likely that they converted what they knew or what they knew from scriptures to speak about success and politics. We can't be far from right. Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. When will you again restore the kingdom back to Israel? After their Lord and Savior taught for 40 days. Simply means that before he even taught, you would have imagined their understanding of what the scripture said. They would have said a lot of scripture would have said a lot of things about a king. Mentioned about Israel. And they would think it's about a king in their country, Israel. Are we together? He now says, oh fools, I'm calling you a fool because you are slow of heart to believe what the prophet said. That means what the prophet wrote, what were we to do? What are we to do with what the prophet wrote? Believe. If you don't believe, are you categorized as the them? If you don't believe, are you categorized as the them? Look at it now. He said unto them, they don't believe. That means if you don't believe, are you categorized as a them? No, don't be scared though. You all have believed. Eh? So are you, okay, if a man, because I'm pointing at you. If a man doesn't believe, is he categorized as a them? Yeah. See how the voice increased. So now, the them that he spoke to, what did he call them? Why did he call them fools? So that means if you don't believe and you are part of them, the them is equal to the... Okay, beautiful. That's what you're understanding. So what did Jesus do in verse 26? Look at verse 26. Ought not Christ, that means the prophet said something and he summarized the entire Old Testament books in a lie. What did he say? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? What are these things? The things they were seeing. Is that true? And to what? enter into his glory. That means the things they were seeing were the things the prophets wrote about and they were to believe. See what our Lord and Savior did in verse 27. Beginning at where? Beginning at who? When you see Moses, what comes to your mind? The writings of Moses. Are we together? So where did Moses' writing begin from? So your Lord and Savior, where did he start teaching from? So an apostle of this time that's teaching before Genesis, you are definitely higher than the one who came to die for your sins. It's simple now. Yeah, it's very simple now. Is it not true? In learning from what our Lord and Savior did, okay, how do you know you are saved? There's no how you explain how you are saved without mentioning Christ. That means Christ gave you salvation. That means the Christ that gave you salvation started explaining from where? Moses. After Moses, what did he now say? All the prophets, what did he do? He expounded, dear Manuel. That means he explained across, rather, unto them in the scriptures, the things concerning himself. That means the scripture said something. What was the summary of what scripture said? Genesis to Malachi. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? Are we together? What were they to do with that information? Believe. You see, Isaiah will say, who has believed our report? Believing, you know, sometimes you see it as obeying the commandments. First John will make us understand. We see that properly in the old, in First John 4:3, 4:5. You know, it says, obey the commandment. It's equal to what? Believing. Yeah? Hallelujah. So now, you see that Jesus taught from scriptures. That means we are permitted to teach from where? So if I want to explain Christ to you, where do I explain Christ from? Yeah. So that means the moment you hear somebody explaining Christ, yeah, outside scriptures, what do you do? Flee from every appearance of evil. Because what is good is what Christ did, and he showed us that. So think about it. Why did Christ just appear? Bah! This is me that you killed. I am that I am. Did you do that? Did he do that? Who died for your sins? Did he come out and preach? Did Christ explain himself by showing them himself? Did Christ explain? Let me ask again. Did Christ explain himself by showing them himself? What I mean is this. Did Christ go out with disciples? This is me. What did he do? He went back to scriptures. He went to Genesis and he explained it. Yeah? He went to Exodus, he explained it. He went to Numbers, he explained it. Yeah? Bible now says things concerning himself. That should tell you that not everything the prophets wrote and Moses wrote were about Christ. Is that true? Is that true? Because it says concerning himself. So we can, even though we read certain things that are not concerning Christ, you know, First Peter shows that they are like an example unto us. Yeah, you can learn something from it, right? But the truth is that the focus of scriptures is what? Christ. Glory to God. So we see that the final authority, yeah, I just quickly went over reality of God's word. The final authority over a believer's life is the scriptures. Beautiful. So now today we're going to be looking at the reality of the new creation. The reality of the new creation. Yeah, I mean, you can write that already from the beginning of this today's teaching. The reality of the new creation. Who is a new creation? You know, some people have limited new creation to new converts. Eh? So when you ask some people, who are the new creations? They are those that just became born again. So that means you are old creation. Eh? If you are saying new creation is only those that just became, you know, the new converts, you know, they are baby, they are the new creation. You are old. A new creation remains a new creation forever. Are we together? A new creation remains a new creation forever. Look at John 3 verse 1. John chapter 3 verse 1. John chapter 3 verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named what? Named who? Can we read together verse 1? 1, 2, 3, go. Chapter 3 verse 1. 1, 2, 3, go. Who was he? A ruler of the Jew. It simply means that he had authority. Is that true? Yeah? Look at the next verse. The same. Who is the same? The same man, right? So a good way to write John 3:2 is what? The same man called Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he said unto him, Rabbi, We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Look at the next verse. He now says verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot what? See the kingdom of God. Is that true? Now, take note of something very important that we have talked about in the past. What is the kingdom of God about? Beautiful. And what? Event. So the kingdom of God is about an event. That means the kingdom of what event is that event about the kingdom of God? The resurrection. Are we together? Acts 1:2-3 says that Jesus explained to them with infallible proofs concerning what the kingdom of God, concerning the revelation and resurrection. So when you see Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God. What are you thinking about? He's not coming to church to come and clean the chair. Yeah? Seek ye first kingdom of God will be what? Desire to what? See the effect of that resurrection. So kingdom of God is about resurrection. So he's saying that, so if you say that I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What would he see the kingdom of God be? Is that heaven? If you say kingdom of God is resurrection, is resurrection a future tense? Is resurrection of Christ a future tense? Is it past? So for them to see, have we seen? No, even if you don't understand, it says to be born again. You say you are born again, but you don't want to agree that you've seen. A man that is born again, it takes a man to be born again to see. That means the same kingdom of God is not to see trumpet and angels coming down from ladder, from the skies. It will be what? To partake or to witness, to be a part of the kingdom. That means we are now part of that resurrection. Hallelujah. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said unto him, You see, Nicodemus is even wiser than a lot of people. Because the first question that came to his mind is born. To be born has to or will require what? A different entity. Okay, he now asks, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into Christ? He knew that being born has to be about a womb. Being born has to deal with what? A womb. So he said, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? What did he say next? Verse 5. Jesus answered. What did Jesus say? Don't lose track. What did Jesus say? Except a man be born of water and the Spirit. Yeah? He cannot enter the kingdom of God. A very beautiful verse people use for dipping water inside baptism. You know, I always say the best. We're going to start a series on that. You know, I said it on Wednesday. Sacred cows. Yeah? So, the best thing that happens to you when you are deep inside water is that you are wet. The best thing that happens to you when you are deep inside water, and that they say in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and 24 elders. Let them people add the angels. The best that happened to you is that you just showered outside. Yeah? Look at it. He says, born of water and of the Spirit. That means what you should do is that you should go and get unbelievers into water first. Before the Spirit beam. Do you understand? He even says water before Spirit. But what we do is what? Spirit before water. That is saying there's something wrong somewhere. Yeah? Now, remember, when you see a word in the bracket of, it means that it wasn't there in the initial manuscript. So another way to read that is, except a man born of water and the Spirit. That means the Spirit is definite. The Spirit. Yeah? Remember that word there, and, is the word that means what? 2 Corinthians 13:14. Quickly, 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know that thing we always share at the end of services, yeah? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at your neighbor. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet, yeah? Nigerian King James Version. Sweet fellowship of the Spirit be with you. No, a believer already has a supply of the Spirit. A believer has received from the supply of the Spirit. We are going to see that in John 3 when we go back there and John 7. So a believer does not lack the Spirit. A believer doesn't lack the love of God. Romans 5, it says that love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the giving of the Spirit. So it is not that the love of God should be with you. Love of God cannot be with a believer more than it has already been. So once you have the love of God, once you are a believer, you have the love of God. So that word there, and, is a word that means kai. It's not always used as two conjunctions, but what? An explanation of what was said before. So, Joshua and Godia, we're talking about two different people. But my second name is YBJ. You can as well say Joshua and the son of Pastor Yemisi Yusuf. Yeah? I am Joshua. When you say Joshua and the son, okay, let me say daughter because she has only one daughter. When you say Esther and the daughter of Pastor Yemisi Yusuf, Are you talking about two different people? The same person. So it is Esther, this daughter of Pastor MC, so same person. So Anne is not talking about two different people here, but sometimes talking about two different people in scriptures, but not always. So when he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, it means I mean. So you can read 2 Corinthians 13 verse 13, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is the love of God, which is also the fellowship. The word the fellowship was, the word the communion is what fellowship, the supply of the Spirit. You see that word also, be with you, is not in the initial manuscript. So we can say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the, which is love of God, which is the communion of the Holy Ghost with you all. That means the communion of the Holy Ghost is already with you. You don't have to say it after every service. Yeah? The communion of the Spirit is already with you. If you read 1 Corinthians, read 2 Corinthians, you see he has emphasized that. So you can't be saying the fellowship, the power of the Spirit is with you already, and he's now saying be with you again. So what did we do? We just changed that word and. So how do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Look at the love of God. How do we understand the love of God? Look at the supply of the Spirit. Upon resurrection, he gave us the Spirit. That whosoever believes what? Shall never perish but have an everlasting life. The Spirit is unique to the believer. Back to John 3 chapter 4, verse 4. So, remember that same word, verse 5, sorry. That same word, I took us to 2 Corinthians to explain that word and. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, except a man be born of what? Water. What would that word and be? Which is the Spirit. Are we together? So, except a man be born of water, I mean the Spirit. So, that means water was figurative for the Spirit. Is that true? Look at it now. He cannot what? Enter the kingdom of God. That means a man that is born of the Spirit can enter the kingdom of God. What does it mean to enter the kingdom of God? It means to partake of that resurrection. Remember, kingdom of God is about an event. Look at the next verse. He didn't mention water again. Yeah? He says, that which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. It means that when your mother gives birth to you, you are still a man. But when the Spirit gives birth to you, you are now of the Spirit. So, can your mother unborn you? See, as you are like this now, mommy, I want to be unborn. Oh, mommy, please come and born me again. Can you do that? But when you are born of the Spirit, we can say that a man that is born of the Spirit, which is born again, can be unborn by his activities. You simply exalted your mother's physical birth over the birth of God. Let me say it again. You simply exalted that your mother is stronger than our eternal God. Look at it. If your mother can give birth to you, you cannot do anything to undo it. But you're saying God can give birth to you by the giving of the Spirit, and there's something you can do to undo it. Who is stronger? Your mom now? Your mom still is stronger. Are we together? So when he says born of water, he's talking about born of the Spirit. The Spirit. Look at. It's expected that when you read the book of John, you should continue reading. Go to chapter 7, verse 37, because of our time. So a man that is born of the Spirit is that new man. He has been born of the Spirit. John uses water as figurative for the Spirit. We'll see that in a very short while. Look at it. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man, look at it this way. Everyone look at me. Jesus stood and said what? If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Look at it. If I'm Jesus and I'm saying, if any man thirst, let him come and drink. Who is thirsty? You. Who is to drink? You. Where are you to drink from? The person that said, if you are thirsty, come and drink. Is that correct? So, if any man be thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That means there's a drink that I have to give you. Don't lose track. There's a drink I have to give you. Look at verse 38. Look at how we now say this. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly. Look at it. So if I'm the one to give you water if you are thirsty. And the Bible, it now says that the scripture said that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where is rivers of living water coming from? Look at it again. I am Jesus. I am saying what? If you are thirsty, come and drink. Where is the water coming from? Do you have water to give? What are you supposed to do when you come to me? You are to drink because you are thirsty. How do you drink? He that believeth. So when you believe, you've drunk. Yeah? Yeah? Can you see? Start thinking of John 3. Born of water and the spirit. That means a man that is now. See what he says. See what he says. He now says that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, I used to be of the opinion that out of his belly was about the believer. I don't know if you've known me for a long time, you'd have heard me teach about how my belly is from the where the river will flow from and heal National Assembly. out of my belly flows rivers of living water. You don't have living water to give. Only that he has the living water to give. You can only point people to that he. Look at it. So if Jesus is saying, come and drink from me. If you've drank from me, yeah? Simply means that if she wasn't around and she's thirsty, what can you do? You can only point her to where the drink is. Why? Because you have drank to quench your thirst. You say you want to be vomiting. Don't worry, you don't need to go there. Open your mouth. What do? You point her to the he that gives water. That's why as believers, the best you can do is to preach to people, to point them to Christ. We don't have any spirit to give, but we have the spirit indwelling in us. How did he say that? How do we know that? Look at verse 39. You see, if you can read just further, you will see what scripture says clearly. We live in a generation right now where it is easy to superimpose your ideology on scriptures. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that you have an ability to give living water. If only you were patient enough to read verse 37, 38, and enter 39, what did he say? He spake of what? Spirit. What did he say in verse 37? Thirsty. What did he say in verse 38? Believe. What did he say about here? Giving the Spirit. So he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should what? Receive. What did he call it in the previous verse? They that believe shall drink. Is that true? How does a believer drink? By believing. So have you believed? Have you drank? So have you drank of the Spirit? What did John call Spirit? Rivers of living water. So water was figurative for what? Spirit. He that believes on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given at the time, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, I have drank from the river of living water. I have the full supply of the Spirit. I have the full supply of the Spirit. So John 3, when it says being born of water, it is born of water. Okay. Don't think of water. Don't go and put people in water. But I'm talking of the Spirit. The Spirit is something that will be given upon the reputation of the name of Christ, which is what? His accomplishment. So a man that has believed is born of the Spirit. That means you are born of water already. Is that true? Am I talking of literal water? No. Figurative for what? The Spirit. Look at Ezekiel 36. Look at Ezekiel 36. You know, the prophecy that came out before time. Ezekiel 36 verse 24. Ezekiel 36 verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries and will bring you into my own land. Who is talking there? Who do you think is talking there? Who do you think is talking there? Go back to verse 23. I don't want us to go back. Okay. We can start from here. I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. So who is talking? I am the Lord. Yeah? Through the prophet Ezekiel. You know a prophet? Who's a prophet? A prophet is a person that speaks on behalf of someone. Is that true? That speaks about the future on behalf of someone. So Ezekiel was talking about how God will do something. See what God will do. When I shall be sanctified in you before that, I look at verse 24. See what God will do. I will. We've already established that it was God that was talking. When you now see I will, who is talking? He is God. I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. I will bring you into your own land. Yeah? What's that land? The land is that land that is in Christ. Now, think about it. If you wake up on a Monday morning, and that's why I tell people, switch off, delete that app called Daily Verse. That app, daily verse for the day, for the week. Delete it. It leads you into a lot of error. It cherry picks, and things that are not for you, it makes it look like it is for you. Remember last week we did an explanation of Psalm 118. The stone the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. It cannot be you. Don't try and think of your family that asked you that you will not make it in life. No, it's not you. No, it's about a person, Christ. Yeah, we looked at that last week Sunday. So God is saying he's going to bring you into his own land. That means the land he will bring you into is his land. You know, Hebrews tell us we've come to Mount Zion. Look at verse 26. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Please, people of God, is God saying you'll go and bring his up and be sprinkling water on your head? Let's see how we said it. And ye shall be clean. Okay, if I sprinkle water on you, will you be clean, sir? Eh? When you wake up in the morning, I just carry the bottle. Will you be clean? And you not sprinkle morning, that's how you bath. Actually, it doesn't even make sense, does it? It doesn't make sense. That means you have to look further what he's saying. I will sprinkle water on you. It doesn't say that the pastor should pick a bowl and people should follow him and carry leaf. You know, our baptism is different from immersion. Baptism is about sprinkling. Let the water just touch you. You know, it's that same mindset you used to use and not to spoil the wall of your house. If you know how much you used to spend your wall, your pastor will tell you to carry Goya and be speaking in Saproom and point it on your wall to come against demon. When I sprinkle clean water on you, look at how he says it. For all your filthiness, can I sprinkle water on you and your filthiness will go? But God can sprinkle water on you and your filthiness will go. But you should know that God will not use his hand to be sprinkling water on you. You know, when you think about God, don't think of God as God that has one mighty nose. By the blast of his scatter, the Red Sea part. You are laughing. But is that what they say? God is so mighty. He's so mighty. You know, you now look at God as elephant. You are now ants. God is now seen as ants. You know how you used to watch ants now? When ants is about climbing the hill. You know what I like to watch those things? Climbing. You now put your hand in front of it. You now climb on top. Eh? See, that's how God is. The best of God mankind can see is Christ. Hallelujah. The best of God mankind can see is who? Christ. God came to reveal himself through Christ. Now it is in that giving of Christ that we have cleansing from filthiness. Look at it. He says, and from your idols will I cleanse. Look at verse 26. A new heart. So can you say the cleansing is equal to giving of a new heart? See it. The new heart will I give you. Are we together? So the cleansing is another figurative for what? A new heart to be given. When you were born again, did any surgeon tear your heart and give you a new heart? So what is a new heart? It will be figurative for what? The spirit. Look at it now. He now says, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. What is the new heart? The spirit that will be put within you. That is he that is born of water, which is the spirit. That is he that believes, that is tested and comes to Christ and believes. Yeah, he now says, I will take away a stony heart from your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. Look at verse 27. He now says, and I will put my spirit. Can you see? What emphasis was he laying on? Spirit. What did he use to explain spirit from the beginning? Water. Cleansing with water. Christ, the work of Christ and the giving of the spirit is the only water that can make a believer new. Hallelujah. Yeah, Christ and the giving of the Spirit is the only water that can make a believer new. That means the moment you believe in the gospel, the Spirit of God has been put within you. You are full of God. You are full of God. God did not put you. God did not put himself in you halfly or quarter. When you worship him, I'll top it up. No, don't be thinking of Mudu of Gari. Mudu only works in Otaku Market. Yeah, don't think Mudu. Don't allow your Nigerian culture constrain your mind of scriptures. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. I think God will not take the jug. You now go and leave nonsense. You now come back on Wednesday again. Fill my cup, Lord. I was laughing when someone said, I asked him, why do you take communion? He said, it brings to me a consciousness of Christ. I said, you know, it's only in nursery school that you have to use toy to point somebody's attention to something. You know, it's when they see the toy. You know, in nursery school, if you go to a good nursery school, you have the corner called shopping corner. You need something for, you need to catch the attention of a child with things. A believer should desire the sincerity of God's word and grow. You cannot be doing things for 50 years of your life, things. So, you are trying to say that if you don't see bread and wine, you will never remember that there's a consciousness of Christ. You see that? Now, there's a spirit that has begun to the believer. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. I'll be starting that series on communion. We did it about 2 years ago, but I'll starting again on Wednesday or maybe upper Wednesday. No, we're finishing Wrath of God for now on Wednesday. Yeah? So start maybe in March. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 11. Such were some of you, but you are now what? Washed. You are now what? Washed. How are you washed? Look at how he says it. You are sanctified. You are justified. How? By the Spirit of our God. So Ezekiel wrote that sprinkling of water. Right? John 1 said born of water. Jesus, John 7 says what? What rivers of living water. What is that water that he's been talking about? The Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember, water cannot wash you. Alright, okay. Water can wash you, but water cannot wash your heart. Think about it. Water cannot wash your heart. Like I said earlier on, the best water baptism does to you is to what? Make you bath outside. Somewhere, what? Some of you. Lift your hand and say, I'm not more like that. I'm no longer like that. I'm full of the Spirit. I've been washed, sanctified, justified by the Spirit. Spirit of God dwells in me forever. Now, what does it mean to be a new man? What, you know, we're teaching about the reality of the new creation. That means a new heart that God gives to you, which is by the giving of that Spirit, makes you a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things have become new. To wit that God was in Christ concerning the world. It has not come to mind. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:17. You know, therefore, a good way to read this would mean to start from previous verses. But because of our time, we'll look at this. Just look at this. If any man in Christ is a new creature, a creation, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. What are the old things that are passed away? The old things that are passed away are those things that have been changed by the giving of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a man that is born again, a man that has believed the gospel, that has drank of water, has what? Is a new creation. Lift your hand and say, I'm full of the Spirit. I've been washed. You know, a few weeks ago, I was teaching about something. About, you know when I said something? When you think of the blood of Jesus, don't think of hemoglobin. When Jesus was on the table, did they collect syringe and draw his blood and pour his cup and say, this is my blood. Is that what they did? Now say, Peter, bring cutlass. Now cut his hand. Say, this is my flesh. Is that what he did? So when you are sinking blood, when you are taking flesh, the Bible says that we are not redeemed of corruptible things. Yeah? We are redeemed of incorruptible things. That means the blood that flowed in Jesus' vein, is it corruptible? Think about it. The only reason why it is not corruptible is because what he gave you was not his blood, but his Spirit. You cannot think about the new creation without mentioning the Spirit. Spirit has to be predominant in what you say. Yeah? You know, I say something. Why do we call it Holy Spirit? Why do we call it Holy Ghost? Yeah, you know, we've learned a lot of things. Somebody said there's a difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. The ghost is the one, is it with the Father? Okay, ghost is the one with fire. The Spirit is the calmer one. Can you see the tripology in your head? Spirit and ghost is just over time that the word changed. But now the point is, why do you call it Holy Spirit? The word there, holy, doesn't mean something that is, it's not like, yeah, your clothes is... Now you are wearing a gown in the realm of the spirits, but any sin you sin, stain will touch you. When it's not Malaya eating, or come on, you are tearing. Stain will touch you. But you need to come back to and say, are you washed with that blood? And those people will wash you. The word there, holy, means something that is set apart for a particular purpose. Something that is unique unto something. This microphone is unique unto the pastor that is teaching. Yeah? Doesn't mean that this microphone has not sinned. Doesn't make any sense. How can you say the microphone has not sinned? That's why it's holy. This altar is holy unto anybody that is leading us in either worship, singing, or teaching. So what is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is that spirit that is unique and designated for a particular purpose. What's that purpose? He that believes. He that believes. He that believes has been washed and sanctified and justified by the Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. I'm full of the Spirit. If they say, I'm full of the Spirit. I'm a new creation. He says, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. You see, that word creation is like a species that has never existed before. You are new. You are always new. Yeah, God is able and capable to keep you as new to the end of time. Glory to God. That's why, look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What does it take to be a new man? To be a new man is to be a man that believes in the work of Christ, which is what? Believing in the giving of the Spirit. And once a man believes in the giving of the Spirit of God dwells in him forever. The Spirit of God can never leave you. Hallelujah. Yeah, so that scripture that comes to your mind says, depart from me, I know you not. No, it can never be a believer. God can never not know you as long as you are a believer. You can never be unknown to God. You are his prized possession. You are his. You belong to him forever. There is nothing that can do it because there is nothing you did to do it. All you did was believe. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. How, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel which I preached unto you now, not just preaching unto you, when you received it, you are still standing in it. The gospel, that good news. There was a good news that was preached to you that made you become born again. What's the good news? Christ came, he died. Look at it in the next verse, verse 2. By which also you are saved. That means you are saved, you stand in it. What is that it? The gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain, look at verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Yeah? How that Christ died for our sins. Who is writing here? Who is writing in 1 Corinthians? You see, he says, I deliver unto you what I received. That means it was a man that taught Paul the gospel. Is that true? But you know, a lot of people think it was that story when light shone on him. Yeah? I mean, I've not heard people say that his name was changed from Saul to Paul. Eh? Have you not seen people say that? Eh? From Saul to Paul. Have you not seen people say that? When you encounter God, your name will change. Look at your neighbor and say, your name will change. Bang, 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 bang. Look at your neighbor. Which Bible said his name changed? Pastor, sir, bishop, sir, archbishop, reverend, please show us. They will read Acts 50 times. They will not see it. Paul is a name in a different language. Saul is a name in a different language. So just like you, your name is Ayo. I can call you Joy. Is that true? What is Ayo in Yoruba? Joy. Eh? What is Ayo in... what is Ayo in English? Joy. Yeah? So how can I say, because a light shone on you, your name now changed from Ayo to Joy? Can you see how deep it is? So Paul did not become born again just by the light, because Christ could not have preached the gospel to Paul. An instruction was given to another servant to go and what? Preach the gospel to him. Are we together? That's why he says, which I received, I'm delivering to you. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the gospel, verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose on the third day, according to scriptures. So now, what is the gospel? Christ died for your sins, and he rose again, as the prophet has said. Yeah? So God is the promise keeper. Yeah? God kept his promise from the beginning of time. And he fulfilled that promise in Christ. Glory to God. So what is the summary of the gospel? Christ died, he was killed by men, and God rose him up on the third day. That is the gospel. Preach the gospel. It simply means preach that reality. Preach that news. That is a good news. Yeah, the gospel is not that come to Christ, your life will be changed. If you are saying that, you must think of the change in reference to you are now a new creation. You cannot come to Christ and have more money just because you came to Christ. No! You come to Christ, you receive that thing that is holy unto a man that believes and can never be found with a man that doesn't believe. What I simply said was this: anything an unbeliever can have without believing what you believe is not part of why Christ died. The moment an unbeliever can have 1,000 naira without believing your gospel, it is not part. That means there is something. There is a gospel that is to be preached. How Christ died, he was buried. Whatever happens in believing that is unique to a man that believes. Are we together? So the gospel is not come to Christ. My story changed. No, there is something they are not telling you. Hallelujah. There's something they're not telling you. You can say, come to Christ and your destiny will be changed to an unbeliever. Yeah, but once you are saved by believing the gospel, your destiny has been changed. So, the only place we should sing, destiny changer, destiny, come and change my destiny, is only on the crusade ground, not at the midst of believers. Because destination to God is to be found in Christ. That simply means that a man that is not in Christ is out of destiny. So if you are in Christ and you are saying destiny changer, I'm trying to say God should change you away from being found in Christ. Come and change my destiny. What you are taking is your house rent. Next Sunday, now come and shout this morning. Praise the Lord. I got a duplex. Oh, the God of our pastor is a I sowed the seed. The pastor called for a dangerous seed. Oh, you are deceiving yourself. You see, sometimes I think of some people and I'm like, you know that if we really held in high esteem the fact that I went to school, there's some things we should not believe. Okay, let's think about that another day. But now, the gospel is that Christ died, he was buried, and he rose again. And a man that believes is saved forever. Why? Because you cannot vomit the spirit. It is a seed. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Faith in Christ, being saved, takes only faith without your works. Being saved takes only faith without your works. You don't work to maintain it. Look at Ephesians 1:13. In whom also you trusted after you heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. What is the word of truth? The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, you were what? Sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. Look at verse 14. Look at what the Bible says about that Holy Ghost that you have been sealed with. It says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until what? The redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What that means is simply, remember my story illustration? Mama who? Beautiful. If Mama Bola, if you go to the Ibushi market, this is Mama Bola's shop, and you buy a bag of beans. I said, Mama Bola, please help me hold it too. Let me go and buy a bag of rice and come back. She now says, Mama Bola now says, okay, I might not be around, but just write your name on the back of the bag of rice. So when you come, anybody that is there will attend to you. You now go and you come back. And the wicked sales girl of Mama Bola now removes that sellotape. What do? You can't prove that's your bag. Is that not true? Why? Because the seal you put on the bag has been removed. Hallelujah. So it simply means that the seal has been removed. But imagine if before you put that seal, you put your ID card inside the bag and you tied it. Mabola, I'll be back. Oh, Mabola said, put a seal on. Say, don't worry. I know. You see, I know my sheep, they know me. You see that? I know my bag, they know me. But you don't know that there's a seal inside. Mabola now goes out. You now go and come back. Once the sales guy now say, no, show me a proof. Prove it. What do you need to do? Open the bag, my seal is in there. When you open it, what do you see? The seal. Who's the owner? The Holy Spirit is that seal in the believer until the redemption of the purchased body. That is until the time when your corruptible body will put on incorruption. When your mortal body will put on immortality. God can never say, I knew you not. Why? He left his seal in you. His seal is in you. He lives in you. So you might not look like a believer because of the way you wear your skirt that is longer than your leg. Yeah? But all God needs to say is what? That man has believed. Moment you believe, my seal is in him. There is nothing you can do to undo it. He is my property. God can never say, depart from me, I know you not. Why? You are a new creation. How are you a new creation? You believed in that giving of the Spirit. The supply of living water from the giving of the Spirit, from the redemptive work of Christ. I'm full of the Spirit. You see, that's why we come to church to learn about this. Yeah? We come to church to learn about this. Miracles are not excluded to your pastors. They are not only for the people that are teaching you. No. At the end of the day, the best you will create is what? Showbiz. Hallelujah. Oh, it's my prayer and desire every day that may I never be a showman in God's palace. Maybe I'm just coming, two people just open the door for me, and I stand and I hold the mic. And I start, you know, I say a number in the spirit, 444555. It's me, sir. That's my phone number. Everybody will now shout, hey. People at the back will now say, open my file. Open my file. See my case. See my case. Police station people. You know me well, I'm loud on the supernatural. But supernatural can never be the message. The message is about explaining that new creation. That's the message until the end of time. Miracles will never be louder than that message in God's palace. This is our prayer every day. That the fact that we are doing miracles, we are not going to be politicizing it. Yeah, beautiful. If you like it, you know, it's a very corny thing for you to think that because a church doesn't advertise their miracles, they don't operate in the supernatural. don't think that way. Hallelujah. Don't think that way. Yeah? That church doesn't, you know, we don't take testimony time. That church doesn't take testimony time. It doesn't mean we don't have miraculous, mighty testimonies every week in and week out. Till last week, till Friday, we still had. But imagine you now come testimony time, 15 minutes. The God of Pastor Joshua. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says you've been sealed with that Holy Ghost of promise. Every believer has that Holy Ghost of promise. There is no believer that has the Holy Ghost more than any other believer. Every believer is a new creation. Are we together? Remember I said something? I said faith. We're going to end on that. Faith without works is dead. You know that scripture? Faith without works is dead. Yeah? I'll use it to go for contract. How can you say you have faith in God and you sleep in your house? How can you say you have faith in God and you don't read for your exam? Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is all a man needs to be saved in reference to salvation. But faith without works is dead in reference to what? Fellowship and relationship with people. James 2:1. Let's run over James 2. We saw that being saved is what? Having faith in that gospel. Look at James 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Look at that. Is your faith dependent on her? In your being saved, is it dependent on her? You're being saved, is it dependent on him? Yeah, so it is irrespective of him. So when James says, my brother, having what? Have not the faith of our Lord with respect to person. What you are saying with respect to person, what are you thinking? It is about relationship with people. Because faith and faith alone without your works is what makes a man saved forever. Understanding this should bet in you that faith without physical demonstration of what you believe in is not what dead. Let's see it together. Look at what it says in verse 2. For if there come unto your assembly a man with gold ring, yeah, we celebrate you, come to the front. And there comes also a poor man in veil raiment. Bro. Now there you did. I said, now there. Sit down for there. Yeah? But you see another man with his perfume. Once you open his door, everywhere is enveloped. Welcome. I celebrate you, sir. He says, for if there come unto your assembly a man with gold ring in godly apparel, and there come unto also a poor man in veil raiment. Look at verse 3. And ye have respect to him that weareth what? A gay clothing. What is gay clothing? He's not saying you should dress like homosexual. What is gay clothing? He mentioned it in verse 2. Remember, you see, we have to read scriptures in context. Gay clothing will be what? The clothing of what? Golden ring and golden apparel. Look at it. Look at how it says in the next verse. He now says unto him, sit down here in a good place. I just explained that. Is that true? The rich one come to the front. The poor one stay behind. Because we want a camera to show that we are healthy in our church. He now says, and you say to the poor, stand here and sit under my footstool. What does that mean? Bro, there's a chair behind. Look at what he says. Remember, he's teaching about faith with respect to persons. Look at the next verse, verse 4. And ye are ye not partial in yourselves? What's he saying? How can we both be the same believers who are new creations found in Christ and we are segregating amongst ourselves? Nothing makes that man in gay clothing, which is in golden clothing, to be more in Christ than the man that is poor. You see, that's why in Christ, no matter, even if everybody on earth becomes a believer, people that are poor, some people must be poor. Some people must be rich. There must be servants and masters. Not everybody can be a master. So all this confession of money, I'm not the head, I'm the head and not the tail. Eh? Check your workplace, you are already the tail. Check your workplace, no, think about it. Me, I know, in my workplace, I'm not the head. Because I have like 3-4 people I'm reporting to. Say I will turn lizard the other way. You see? I'm not the head. I'm the head. I'm not the tail. Oh, lies fall for me in prison places. Servant, you just like big man life. You know, pass. Is it bad to have no man? That's why you see the apostles, when they write to churches, they write to the people that are rich and those that are poor. They write to masters and slaves. He didn't say slaves. Take over, take territory. But taking over territory for the kingdom. An amplification of your covetousness. Amen? Amen? In Christ, there is no segregation. There is no rich or poor in Christ. Every believer is rich. God's rich man. Yeah? Get that teaching. God's rich man. God's powerful power demonstrated to the believer. God's mighty power. God's mighty power. The mightiness, the almightiness of God's power was seen in the Christ that he rose Christ from the dead. Was seen in the fact that he rose Christ from the dead. How do you know God is powerful? Christ rose. Look at me. I'm saved forever. Not how do you know God is powerful? I got a job last week. I got a house. So the week you don't get a job and a house, what happens? God is powerful. It's power half. When you now get the full job, powerful. Yeah? So, there is a disposition we have when we come together in church. In as much as faith is only faith in Christ. Look at what it now says. Look at verse 5. Are you not partial? Are you not judges of evil thoughts? Look at verse 5. How can my beloved brethren, had not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith? Look at it. There are some people that will be poor. But one thing you must understand is that as a believer, you are rich in faith. He now says, and they are to be heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him. That they will be partakers of that kingdom, that resurrection event. Look at verse 6. But she despised the poor. Hallelujah. 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 What was James teaching? Despising the poor. Is that what he was teaching from the first 6 verses we read? Despising the poor. Poor people sit here. Rich people say, we have rich people association. We have committee. We have elders. We have elders of high pedigree and elders of low pedigree. You are segregating. You are dividing the body. That's what Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11. When he was talking about you discern not the lost body. He wasn't teaching about putting bread together and putting wine and drinking. It was like, we are brothers, but you choose not to recognize that fact that we are one body. Discerning the lost body. Not discerning the lost. That's why he says people were dying. Why are people dying? Because I didn't discern that you're my brother and I need to eat just as the way you need to eat. So I give you food. I don't eat everything because I don't have the spirit of selfishness. We eat together as brothers. Moment I eat alone, you die of hunger. That's why I say some of you fall sick and sleep. Why some of you are drunk? Do you not discern the lost body? How do you discern the lost body? By knowing you're my brother. I walk in love towards you. He doesn't go and meet my husband and I have 2,000 naira in my pocket or 5,000 naira in my pocket. And they say he's drunk. I've done it for the past 1 week. I said, be filled. Bless you. Bless you. You know, the Lord will turn around your situation. No. And I have free money to give. Hallelujah. So that's the same thing Paul was teaching in 1 Corinthians 11, which we have used for communion service. Do this in remembrance of me. The same thing James was teaching here. Don't despise the poor. Simple. In the church in Corinth, we had the rich coming to eat because they had access to food. They were influential. But they were despising the poor. And they forgot to realize that both the poor and the rich, they are all found in Christ. They are the same. They've drank from that same river of living water. Hallelujah. So there is no class in church. Bible says there's neither Greek, there's neither Jew, there's neither male, there's neither female in Christ. We are all one. One body, one spirit. One body, one spirit. One baptism. So you cannot despise some people because they are financially imbuoyant and exalt some more than them because of their finance. That means we don't cause this division in the church based on financial status. Is that true? Because of time, let's go to verse 19. I think I'll just go over that maybe on Sunday next week. Look at verse 19. Thou believest that there is no one God, thou dwellest well, the devil also believe and tremble. Look at it too. He's also telling you that, see, for a man to be saved, is not to believe in God. Is that true? For a man to be saved is not to believe, because even the devils believe in God and they tremble. That means even the devil believes that there's God. So what makes you saved? Believing in God's work in Christ. Look at verse 20. But will thou know, O vain man, that what faith without works is dead? What was he teaching? In the previous verses, I had established that I show you my works. I show you my faith based on my works. How do you know I'm saved? I give liberally. How do you know I'm saved? I discern the lost body by not distinguishing myself from the poor. That's why he says, how can James wrote it there? He says, how can someone come to you that is hungry and he say, be filled, go thy way, be filled. And you have surplus to give. So that word there, dead, is the word that means inoperative. Imagine I'm going for a nightclub now, for instance, and I want to invite Sister Godia. And I'll say, have you told Sister Godia? My brother should come in and say, forget her, she's a dead woman. Are we together? And I'll say she's a dead woman. And I say, when she died? Nobody I see yesterday. For those that don't understand pigeon, is she not the one I saw yesterday? What is the word there, dead? It means that she's not a surgery person. So dead is figurative. So when you see faith without works is dead, it's not saying that if you have faith, you don't walk, you will die of hunger. Yeah? So faith without works is, how can I say that I'm full of God and not show liberality towards fellow saints? So it is that you know that I am saved by the fruit I show, even though it is not relevant for my saving or my salvation. Because what is relevant for my salvation is believing in that work of Christ, which is the giving of the Spirit. We'll continue from there on Sunday. Let's end here. Okay, let's just end in 1 Peter 1. Oh no. 1 Peter 2, 9. Let's just do 1 Peter 2, 9. 1 Peter 2, 9. We'll continue from there on Sunday. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read this scripture together. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You know, okay. But ye are a chosen generation, a what? Royal priesthood. A what? And holy what? A peculiar what? That you should show forth the praises of him who had called you what? Out of darkness into what? His marvelous light. He says, we are a royal people, we are a royal nation. We are a royal, we are a holy nation, we are a royal priesthood, rather. A chosen generation. Yeah? A man in Christ. You see? So, okay, maybe I'll continue from there on Sunday. What you call predestination to go. You know, a lot of people have issues with what is predestination. And God predestined that I'll be in this church this morning. God has written the script. I'll be in this church this morning. Yeah? So, a poor understanding of that is what leads to when people are involved in maybe a terrible thing and say, God predestined for you to have an accident. You know, people say that now. God predestined that people should have an accident. God predestined that they should chase you out of your house. Yeah. But what is predestination to God? Predestination in God is that what? A man that believes is that chosen generation. A man that believes is God's nation. A man that believes is God's household. A man that believes is God's peculiar person. Who has been delivered from darkness and what? Translated and transformed what? Into what? The marvelous light. Marvelous light. Marvelous light. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The light of the glorious gospel are shone in our hearts. We believe the gospel. And God said, let us make man in our own image, and let male and female be found in that image. Christ. Why? Because you believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Remember where we started from today? Scriptures are to point to who? To what? Scriptures point to what? Are we together? You know, when you come to church and you are sleeping, you are just, you know, I always tell somebody, when you think you cannot listen to a message for a long time, that's a lie. Remember the teaching on Wednesday? How do you know a humble man? A humble man is not a man that when soldier jam him, he come down and say, yes, sir. There's some people, when a small car just touch you from the back like this, who are you? Are you mad? Are you stupid? But when someone, a small car touch you from the back, you come down, you see him a poor uniform. Why are you driving like that now? You see, the voice has changed. I see, that means you have self-control right from time. But you are just living you're just living a pretentious life. Eh? That means you're living in hypocrisy. Then you were shouting to somebody that you know you could beat. You are living in pro- but now I'm saying is, our parents, when they used to beat us when we were small, stop doing that. But now, the moment your mom just lift her hands, you just say, mommy. Mommy too will calm herself. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. She will calm herself now because she knows that that mommy you said, if your hand touch her, is hospital. So you now think it's self-control. No, it is that self-control has been there before. It's just the situation that brought it out. If you were smaller, even if you say mommy, they will tie your hand together with the mommy and keep beating you. Yeah. So if you come to church and you are sleeping, it's not, you are not tired though. I can assure you are not tired. Let one more pole just shoot two bullets outside there. One more pole, two, bam, bam. Just from your sleep, you wake up and you remain active. And you wait for pastor to go to the door to go and check first. Pastor, are they sitting there? Me, I'll go to the office. And that's my secret place. Eh? So, you see, you're not really tired. So when you come to church and say, Pastor, I had a long week out. No, you're not tired though. No, let's hear. You know Nigerians, we run because people are running, not because you know what is happening. Let's just show our face outside there and let just somebody just say Boko. You don't even hear alarm. Boko. You will know that you have the spirit of God to scale fence. You see, so that means in the recess you're not tired. So when you come to church, you have to superimpose that ability on listening to messages. Don't just allow the devil steal. Coming to church and sleeping is a 0-0 game. You lost, the devil's too lost. Learn the ability to stay awake because you can stay awake. I always sleep at 10 o'clock. I sleep at 10 o'clock because here networking is that one pipe of well just open. Just one pump. Somebody forgot to lock it. They're trying to call civil defense to lock it. Say you sleep at 10. No, that means you have an ability not to sleep at 10. It's just the circumstance that will bring it out. See, may we not go to circumstance that spirit of wisdom in you will come out. And people that are in China that are meeting in caves in their thousands, standing. That's why they don't wish for them to be like America. Why? Because they know American nature comes with laziness. 45-minute service. Go to church. God of Father, Son, go, glory. Thank you for the week. Thank you for the week that has to come and the weeks to come. My name be highly exalted. They project the hymn. Organ. Boom. They sing him. Pastor will now come. Share the grace. 45 minutes, you're over. No. When you see people that are under the cave for hours in their thousands. You know, I shared a video of when they took a Bible to one of those gatherings. See how they were rejoicing. But here, it's printed in China. It's printed in China. That's when you know where they are printing Bible. Hallelujah. Yeah, so that's a good way to end message. Lift your hand and say, I have the ability to control my sleeping nature. No, let's say it though. I have the ability to control my sleeping nature. Hallelujah. Let's just pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds. Just pray in the Holy Ghost that you see yourself more, yet more, yet more and more as a new creation that you are in Christ.